Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better, and everybody do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your fans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Don't say.
We can go when we want to, night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Monday edition of 3 and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford, intern Will, a packed house, getting your week started right here on Fan Run Radio. We do appreciate you listening.
Happy mid-June, everyone.
Did you have a good weekend, Houston?
Yes. Did you?
Had a great weekend.
Congratulations on the great weekend.
Thank you. The only thing bad about having a great weekend is that means it's over. Like, it's kind of bittersweet. It's a blessing and a curse.
We have a lot to look forward to. You know, you and me.
Yeah. Billy? Great weekend.
Great weekend. Had the daughter's birthday party on Saturday. Had a good time.
Happy belated, by the way.
Yeah, happy
Dang
birthday,
it.
Billy.
Dang
yeah.
it.
And happy Father's Day.
Yeah, to all of you dads out there.
Hope you had a great one.
Like me, I'm Davey's dad, so. Took me a while, but there's my retort.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I'd like to wish my son, Davey, a happy Father's Day.
Wait. Yeah.
It works. Just okay. go with
just
it, please.
Go with that.
Thank you. Thank you. Don't let's not read in too much.
Oh man.
Yeah. You got it.
Whew.
You get it. You understand. Good Father's Day for you guys? Hmm? Yeah.
Well,
Will, did you have a good Father's Day?
Yeah. Will had a great one.
Well, I had a good Father's Day despite the fact that I was driving back from, 3 hours. Still was a good day. But the weekend was great. It's a great Father's Day weekend. How about that?
Congrats, yeah. Weather was good.
Yeah. Oh, incredible. And, I'm loving this West Coast golf tournament, too. Like, being able to
I thought you were
going
to say weather, because it felt like that. It was nicer here than it was in Pebble all week.
No, they were sleeved up.
The June haze, they call it. Do you know this?
No.
So, obviously, the Pacific is very, very cold water, so as it warms up on the West Coast in the springtime, you get the June haze. Which is where, essentially, all day, every day, there's a layer of fog over the coast. They call it the marine layer. Now, here in a couple weeks, it'll burn off, and it'll be the most beautiful weather ever. But for now, Southern California, dealing with some cold, some gray, some rain, and that's what we got for the U.S. Open. But what a tournament. Congratulations to Gary on the kick drum. Come, come. Gary, with those shoes.
I know.
Were those American flag or were they just dots?
American flag.
They were?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I like him. He went all red, white, and blue on Sunday just to remind everyone that
America.
This is our open.
Yeah.
Okay? This is our open, and we ain't losing it, and we didn't. First and second to the United States, Justin Rose.
What are you doing, buddy?
Welcome welcome to the fire pit, which is Pebble Beach and the U.S. Open. Gary Woodland, your champion.
I saw
did he lead day two through four? Was he the leader after day two?
He had shot.
He definitely led after day three.
68 and 65. Whoa. His round two is 65. So, yeah, that sounds
I'd
right.
I'd say it's pretty good. I'd say he's doing all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But congrats to him. Needed a couple of big shots down the finish there. Got him.
Yeah, I mean, Koepka.
Did you see? I thought the stat of the weekend, the stat. Coming into this tournament, he was 179th in scrambling.
Mm-hmm.
First this week.
Had to be.
I love the guy saying, yeah, stats tell a story. But they don't matter once the tournament starts. Wise words from Captain Insano. I'm just saying, if you're terrible at scrambling, but you're the best scrambler on the course this week, that's how you win the U.S. Open. A lot of scrambling. How about, I know we're going to get to everything, but did you see Tiger's last 12 holes? 6 under in his last 12 holes?
Yeah.
If Sunday Tiger had showed up on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, this might have been a different tournament. But I digress.
Yeah, he shot 2 under. Tied for 21st.
Too cold for him.
That might have been it.
Back surgeries. Took him 3 rounds to get warmed up.
It's a good point by Billy there, really. When
yeah.
You think about him. It was very chilly. I noticed the first day I turned it on, he had the sweater vest on. And I thought, oh, no. That's not good. A lot of guys said, doesn't matter. We're going to go short sleeves and battle. A lot of guys had to pull out the windbreaker, right? Mm. They had to pull out the overthrow, the double collar. Good tournament, though. Fun to watch.
That was high drama.
We hold our home turf.
Brooks Koepka started his round yesterday on fire, and then just...
Well, that probably warmed him up.
I mean, he couldn't quite have a late run. He needed one more little late run to really put a ton of pressure on Woodland, who finished... By just tracking his downhill birdie putt on 18, just even after he had played the hole very conservatively with a 2-shot lead, you know, he made sure he put it in the fairway, laid up effectively, played to the middle of the green, and then the long birdie putt down the hill and just decided, I'll just go ahead and drain this. I wondered if, you know, it's weird. You probably think when you're in that position, okay, I'm just going to lag this down. I'll be able to take a deep breath. Rose will finish out. I'll have my moment. And then it's just like, it just hit him all of a sudden. He gave kind of a, it wasn't really a, like Tiger kind of throws the kind of hook punch. Woodland's just all.
Hook uppercut.
Yeah, they said he, as he was a kid, you know, he played other sports where, you know, you're more physical. And he had to rein his emotions in for golf. So you could kind of see it finally pour out.
Yeah, have you
out
seen
there.
The video of him shooting threes?
No.
Dude, don't miss.
Money.
I mean, like, cash bank.
Really?
Great form. He was in his golf garb. I guess they were at some event. Had a three-point shooting contest. Kicks the hat backwards and just shoo, 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 shoo. Like, the Warriors are probably like, you know, we're going to be down a three-point shooter. This guy might fill the gap. He's got a good J.
He made the switch to golf because he had to guard Kurt Heinrich. And was like, yeah, I can't handle this guy. So made a switch to golf, and now he's U.S.
Kirk
Open.
Kirk Heinrich is like one of the best shooters of all time, at least in
and
college.
And he was great at Kansas.
I thought that.
I liked watching Heinrich.
How old is Woodland then? That seems, those years line up. I feel like Heinrich played forever ago, but. I don't know. Maybe Woodland's not as young as I think he is.
Perhaps not.
13 under was his final score, 271. He finished 3 shots ahead of Koepka after rolling in the birdie putt. Woodland's 35, if you need the age check there. And he's won a few tournaments, but and Billy, you give us more perspective on this. He's been in position before and kind of melted down, right, at certain points in his career. And so people, I think, kept kind of waiting for the one really bad shot. He didn't.
He's 35. Did you just say that?
Do you listen to the show?
He would hit the one bad shot.
I was just reiterating for those
on Sunday, yesterday, and but then he was always able to come back with
35 years old,
an amazing save. And like Houston said, he led the tournament in scrambling
after not being anywhere near that going into the tournament.
Well, apparently
that's impressive.
Apparently his short game just sucked, and he decided that he's going to make that a big point of emphasis.
Well, was he the one that
battle back?
Like, didn't spend a lot of time on the range this week and just said, I'm going to figure it out on the course.
Kinda, I don't remember that.
Whatever it was, it worked for him. You jumped 178 spots in scrambling to win the U.S. Open. Not bad.
He had a crazy, not crazy, but I mean, he had a really tough shot on the par 5. I think it was, I'm going to mess this up, 14 maybe. He hit a 3-wood in on that par 5 and was able to make birdie there. And then one of the clutch shots of the tournament on 17, he ends up on just a completely wrong edge of kind of a two-portioned green where there's no way to putt the ball to get it anywhere near the hole. He's barely on the fringe, so he's going to chip it off this super tight fringe and just picks it right off, hits the downslope, but then checks up.
They were saying there's no way he could go for the green from his lie. They were saying just get it out in front of the green and try to play up. He said, "Nah, I'm gonna moonbeam this thing and it's gonna come down on where I need it to." And he did. It was a great shot. It was a fantastic shot.
That was another really good shot.
I was talking about
the chip off of the green.
Oh,
he's on like the tight fringe, and pitched it over the little ridge line, hit the downslope, but still checked it up right by the hole.
For some reason, I was on my computer. I don't think I looked up, but I remember them discussing this. Oh, he has two options. He can putt it through the fringe and let it trace back onto the green, or you can just try to pick it off the green. So he
chipped it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the rules on that exactly? Because, like, I would never do that on a local course.
Yeah.
Well, these.
But this is the U.S. Open, and I'm in the last pairing. No one else is going to hit from here, so I can just, if I miss hit and just chunk this green, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, those guys aren't going to do that, though.
Let's say
if they're going to, though, it's going to be right in that moment as you're leading the U.S. Open.
As your hands are sweaty and you're shaking at your knees.
I mean, Koepka kind of stubbed one on 18. I mean, that looked like a shot I've hit before where it's in the rough.
Is that where he thinned it and it just goes?
No, he chunked it out of the, and it just, I mean, it landed on the green fine and ran out a little bit, but he was still like 12 feet away where they were hoping, you know, people were like, he's got a pretty good lie.
Well, yeah,
might be able to make a run at making this.
Was it Dustin Johnson? I can't remember what year they said where he hits one that goes straight up and back down, doesn't move. There was a guy hitting on the edge of a bunker near the final pairing, he hits it, it goes nowhere, and he fell backwards into the bunker. Somehow didn't land on his butt, but he was a different, I guess. It was a little bit of a tough body angle position to try to get a shot off.
Wasn't it Koepka that had his ball so down deep
Spieth
in the rough?
Spieth hit a rake.
He, like, Koepka swung with everything he had. You could see the club stop in the rough. They're like, he was lucky to get this ball in the bunker. The bunker was right in front of him.
Yeah,
like
some of that rough.
He hit the ball like
7 feet.
Yeah, and there's another one. He said he couldn't even see his ball standing over it when he took a shot out of the rough. He just knew where
it was down there.
Yeah.
And just
I was a little disappointed we didn't get like a couple of iconic beach shots this week.
Oh, really?
Where someone hits it low tide and it's like way, way out in the sand. I kind of wanted one of those. We didn't get one. They had to go and show us.
Wait, like off the
jacks.
Cliff?
Yeah. Mm. If the tide's low, you can play it.
Really?
Well, you'll have the option to play it or take, you know, the shot penalty and lateral release.
These days, they'd probably just take a drop.
Reminded me of, is it the greatest game ever played? I think. Is that the Matt Damon one where they finish in the dark?
I think
so.
And
that one guy is out on the beach in low tide and he's got his pants pulled up and his shoes and socks off. He's like, I found it. Club me. I'm playing from here. I'm playing from the Pacific. That would have been pretty cool. But we didn't get that. What a beautiful course. Just all the aerial shots, I was just like, man, this is just some dynamic architecture here.
Mm-hmm. Woodland is the fifth American in a row to win the U.S. Open.
Damn right he is. And he repped hard. Red, white, and blue garb and the American flag spikes. He looked like a champion out there. It's exactly what you want. I thought the story was pretty cool. So he has a son, Jax Jackson, who will turn 2 next week. Jackson was one of 2 twins. They lost the daughter, 3 months before Jackson was born. And then Jackson was born 10 weeks premature. So a pretty important Father's Day for Gary Woodland. And his wife is now also pregnant with twin girls. So pretty cool story for him to go through all of that over the last 2 years and then win the U.S. Open in the way that he did. Pretty fantastic. And to be able to shoot those Jays, guy had a good weekend. But good for him on Father's Day.
Has he melted down before, though? Is that his thing?
I wouldn't really say, like, just a Ricky Fowler meltdown where he would shoot 78. But yeah, he's had 2 top 10s this season where on Sunday he shot 72-72. And so that's after shooting 67-66 and 66-67. So he just couldn't close on Sunday. However, he's had 8 top 10s this year. So it's not like he's new to the game. He just couldn't get over the hump. He did win the Waste Management Phoenix Open last season when he closed with a 64 on Sunday.
Yeah, there's a cool video going around from that where they bring, it's like her name's like Amy out of the crowd.
That was awesome.
And she, I don't know where they teed that ball up from, but from wherever she started, she like hits it in the bunker, chips it on the green, and then sinks the pin, gets up and down on like a pro course.
Yeah.
I'm like,
on number 16.
This girl would wear me out.
She was what, like
yeah, 16.
Like a 13-year-old Special Olympian.
Yeah.
And she hits it in the bunker. He's like, oh, you want to pull that out? And she's like, no, I got this. Just out of the sand.
She was awesome.
To 8 feet, and then pew, maybe further than 8. It was a good putt. Yeah, that was a really cool moment. Seems like Gary Woodland, a worthy champion.
He actually called her in the press press conference last night. Yeah, that was cool.
They were talking about this on the broadcast. Well, I can't remember what day it was. Was it Saturday that they showed that piece? They may have showed it again. I think Saturday was the first time. And they were talking about how, I guess, Gary Woodland, a good guy, but was one of those who maybe thought about things a little too much, worried a little too much, stressed a little too much. And I wish I could remember who it was. It was one of the commentators who does every, you know, major, every PGA event. You'd know him if I could remember his name. Said that he thought that really changed Gary Woodland's perspective, that really impacted him in a positive way, that helped him focus, I guess, on what matters. And not that golf doesn't matter, but that it matters little as far as maybe what you do with it or how you live life outside of golf. I mean, a lot of really cool stories surrounding Gary Woodland coming into this event, and then for him to win it the way he did. I mean, you wonder, was the meltdown coming, and then so much that's happened in the last couple of years puts the game of golf in perspective, allows him to take those deep breaths and hit timely shots after hitting not so timely shots. And again, we said it. I mean, he went from 179th in scrambling to first this week. I don't know what that would be equivalent in any other sport. I mean, that's like being a 20% free throw shooter. It'd be like Shaq going like 20-20 in the NBA Finals, the Game 7. I mean, it's not going to happen, this type of performance, because of what the course demanded from players. I mean, the wind wasn't that big of a factor, but the rough is deep. The fairways are small. The greens are smaller. The bunkers are deep. They're consistent, but they're deep. And then they put in the fescue grass on the edge of the bunkers to hide rakes, apparently, for Jordan Spieth, which was one of the funniest moments, perhaps, of the weekend. if you missed that, he tries to hit a little stinger over the lip of the bunker. He's going to go through the fescue grass, and someone has placed a rake there. Ping! That ball hit the rake and absolutely died, and Jordan threw a fit like he always does. Mm-hmm. He was not a very happy camper. He started off bad yesterday. Thought he might have had a chance, and then he kind of started duffing stuff. And then Rory. Oh, Rory. Do you guys like Rory? You a Rory fan?
I'm pretty neutral.
I thought he had a chance for a really good day, and he started, what, bogey? Then he settled down. I think I like Rory. I don't dislike Rory. I don't dislike Spieth, but Spieth's starting to wear on me a little bit.
Yeah, it's like Chris Paul complaining after every foul or non-foul. It just gets annoying.
Yeah, it's like I'm just kind of over it.
But you said we were kind of waiting for the meltdown. Woodland was playing well the whole day. You almost was worried more about Koepka making a run and taking over this tournament. He started out 4-under through 5 holes.
Yeah.
It was insane.
And that's what he did Thursday. I remember coming in and talking about it. He was, 4-under through 5, or maybe it was 4-under through 6. But then the way he starts yesterday, you're thinking, oh, buddy. And I think Rose felt that pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Woodland, it seemed to hit him late, but by that point, Koepka had kind of settled back into, I'm not going to have one of those just magic, dumb days where I'm, 8 or 9 under. But it felt like Rose, did you see how many close putts Rose missed yesterday? He turned a 3-footer into an 8-footer. That's like the number one rule of golf. Like, never make your next putt longer than the putt you're about to hit. He had the one that went almost 180 and spit back at him from, I don't know what that was, probably 5 feet. Rose just couldn't get that putter dialed in. And it's because he has that pendulum putter, the under-the-chin, not anchored putter. Whew. Have you ever hit with one of those?
Just in, like, a store.
You have, though?
Yeah.
Have you hit with one of those?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like them?
No.
Did you like it?
Mm-mm. I think they're too heavy.
Well, that's the point, right? Because you're not using your shoulders. You are, but it's a different it's a different muscle group.
I feel like you lose too much feel.
Yeah. He looked like he had no feel yesterday on the greens. Just Rose should have gone to the old classic mallet putter. Should have just pulled one out from putt-putt and gone to town, because the old, I don't even know what you call that. It looks like one of those sticks they use to row the boats in Italy.
Rose had the long putter.
Was it not? Yeah, I thought so.
Adam Scott's the one that had the long putter and hit the ball on like a 4-foot putt to like 12
feet.
That
was Scott?
Yeah.
What was
Rose has like this fat cat grip. It's white
with
green,
the huge head on it, right? Maybe I just got those two confused.
Yeah. Well, Scott had that one putt. That just stuck out in my head. When you said you hit one, a 6-foot putt, and now you got 12 feet coming back. He made it, too. That's what was funny.
He did make made the longer.
That was Adam Scott.
Okay. Sorry. Apologies.
Well, they spliced that shot in. Like, they weren't showing Adam Scott at all, but they showed him, like.
Of course, they're going to show that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it. You got what? But it was Rose that had the one that lipped, was basically in, and then just drives the circle around the mountain and kicks out to the other side. Looked like a Kawhi Leonard 3 that just didn't go in.
Rose had been dominating the back nine all week and then just couldn't do it
on
Sunday.
Kind of fell apart.
Yeah. It was a great tournament. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to watch in prime time. It was a lot of fun to watch a guy
that people
good. Hadn't heard.
It wasn't the best yet. I mean, I'm not gonna remember this one like I'm gonna remember the Masters from this year, but it was a good tournament. It's always weird. The first time a new guy wins it, it always feels kind of, we didn't get to see it. We didn't get to see a champ. But he has now.
What?
He has now the chance to become that. I'm just saying, like, it is what it is. Like, you want to see the best of the best there at the end. And Koepka's obviously one of the best, but I still think people are waiting to learn more about him to decide whether or not he's I want to root for this guy and become a Brooks Koepka man. So I think, if you had a McIlroy up there with Rose, and then maybe, I don't know, Spieth or something. I mean, I'm just saying people want big names.
Maybe Gary Woodland's here to stay.
No,
maybe
I agree.
The next big
That's
name.
What I'm saying. But for the first one,
I feel like a lot of people said this about Brooks Koepka 3 years ago.
They did. And now that they realize how good he is, they're like, yeah, Koepka. So you look back on it a little different. That was the one that started it all. Mm. But then there are other champions. They win one, and then
it's true. It's very true.
They're kind of gone. So I think people are like, oh, good tournament. Hope this Woodland guy is worth it. I wasted a lot of time watching him. Hope I get to do it again someday. I really like his spikes. Prove me wrong. Go for it.
You can't bring a conversation in from the break into the show.
We really need to do a separate podcast with one room mic.
Yeah.
If people need to pay to listen to it, because we got to have that thing behind a paywall. If you want the between
break time
segment, break time podcast, maybe we'll work on that. It'd be very short.
It'd be no more work for us. The intern will just have to record something extra and post it.
Be about 30 minutes a day of just the junk we say during a break. Minus anything that might be business related or get somebody in trouble, which is most of it. So maybe 8 minutes a day.
8 minutes a day.
Of WNBA talk.
Oh, gosh.
I'll leave it at that. If you subscribe to the podcast, maybe you'll get the rest one day.
We talked golf for the first half of this hour. Did you see that Carly Lloyd went golf clap after her first goal at the World Cup?
She decided to tone it down.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the wise move. No, they played well. She had two goals, right?
Yeah.
U.S. defeats Chile 3-0, and now they get Sviden. Arch nemesis, arch rival, Sviden. I guess we're going to play our full roster.
The good team. In
this
team.
One. Yeah.
I guess so. I don't even know who starts and who does anymore. They played so many subs to start the match against Chile. 3-0 win over the weekend.
I saw that score, and my initial reaction, because I wasn't able to watch the game, and my initial reaction was, oh, maybe they got a big head. They didn't play as well. And then I get home, I check the recap, and it's, oh, yeah, the United States sat all of their great players, with the exception of Carly Lloyd, pretty much. I mean, they didn't play Alex Morgan. She had 5 goals against Thailand. 5. They played a little bit more of a survive and advance type of game.
Every player has gotten into a match now, except for the backup goalkeeper.
See, that's good. That's cool. You want to make sure that everyone gets to experience the World Cup, except the backup goalies, apparently.
Probably, I mean, you could put them in, but they really wouldn't have anything to do, so what's the point? Yeah. Sweden should be better, though, right? That'll be a good one.
They took out the entire front line.
Oh, really?
Crystal Dunn, Rose Lavelle, Sam Mewis, and Kelly O'Hara out. Also, Alex Morgan, as I mentioned, out.
The front line?
Survive and advance. That's what they called it.
What is the article are you reading?
ESPN.
Mm. Front line?
That's what it says. I don't know. Hey.
I'm about to study up because I missed the first match. All I saw were all the people freaking out about the celebrations. And I watched parts of the second yesterday on replay. But I didn't know what happened. So that was key.
Okay.
You can't watch
Sweden Thursday, 2:00.
Like, I can watch Tennessee football games over again when I know what's going to happen. I can't do that with soccer. No soccer.
No,
I
understand.
I mean, because once you know what the score was, when the goals happen, it's over.
Yeah, I have a buddy who has an EPL team, and a lot of times he'll say, hey, I'm recording the game, don't, because we'll talk about the game sometimes.
Yeah.
If I know it's going to end in a nothing-nothing tie, is it my responsibility to tell him that so that he doesn't waste 2 hours? Like, if it's an interest, like, I get it, right? Like, I don't want the score. I don't want to know who won or lost. But if they play 94 minutes and no one scores, we're not talking a 2-2 tie or a 3-3 tie. Like, there's no drama. Is it my responsibility to say, save the time, 0-0? Like, how would you handle that situation?
Well, can't you ask your buddy this now when there's no match?
Well,
on
I
the
can
line?
I can now.
Now you can.
But, I can
but,
now.
But what I, you're but, saying is this happened in kind of real time and you didn't know what to do with it?
Right. Because cause you can't even really hint around it.
No.
Because then
I hate that even more.
Well, is there any reason you would want me to tell you not to watch this? I mean, to watch it. I mean, what happens? Because you don't want to, you know, you don't want to give it away. It's like
I don't like when people are like, you're not gonna be, you can't, you're not gonna be able to believe what happened in this match. Because then if it's like 3-0 halfway through, I'm like, well, I know the other team's about to come back.
Or they said it was or a they good score match. 10 more and it's 13-0.
How big of a game was it? I think that goes into my decision.
Was it just a regular?
No,
season?
It was late in the season, kind of a big deal game.
I think you got to eat it. I think you got to hold it.
Okay.
Yep.
I think you have to.
I did.
Because you don't. You have to weigh.
Spoilers are very weird, especially in sports.
You have to weigh the negative result. Okay. So the negative result, if you could go back in time and you knew which way he preferred. Then it would be a little, and you knew he wanted to go ahead and tell you to save the hour and a half or whatever. You're just saving him an hour and a half of time. That's
time is money.
It's not that big of a deal.
Time is valuable.
If you let him go ahead and watch it, even if he would have preferred you to save the time for him. But if he's the other way, if he wants to see it no matter what, even if it's the worst 0-0 draw of all time,
it was up
there.
If
it's his team and he wants to see it, and you spoil it for him.
It was up there, buddy.
I feel like that negative reaction is much worse than, oh, you should have just told me it was 0-0 and I wouldn't have watched the match.
Fair.
Was he...
Sports.
Did you need the...
Sports spoilers are just weird. Like, it's weird to me that you miss a lot of Saturday sports and then don't watch them until Sunday night. I don't know how you'd ever do that.
I do it once a year. It's not a thing.
You do it more than once a year. There's been multiple times where you're like, oh yeah, I watched that game, I didn't know what was going on, and then the next day I got to watch it in real time. It's not What do you mean once a year? You do it more than once a year.
Well, that usually in the fall at some point I go on it's usually
your long weekend hike, yeah.
I go off, and the nice thing is where I go, there's no cell phone at all. So I can't even
be tempted.
Somebody turned on a radio one time.
God bless them.
I think,
love those radios.
I think Tennessee was losing.
I'm a big radio guy.
I'll have to look this up during the break.
Don't worry about it. It's not that important.
It was like during the Dooley years. And I'm like, can you believe we're losing to such and such?
Missouri?
Late in the second quarter? No, it was like the non-conference game. It was like
UAB.
I'll have to find it. No, it had to be the early game. Was that an early game?
Early in the year, yeah. Like
maybe that
week
was
two
it.
Or three.
Yeah, that would have been it.
That was it.
Ugh.
Can you believe we're losing to UAB? One in overtime, though. Denarius Moore carried off the field.
But, yeah, I usually get back home about lunchtime on Sunday, and I just don't even turn the phone on at all. So I just don't even check. And then I go to the –
What if something happened? What if it was important? What if it was a station-related issue?
I mean, it would just happen. Make peace with it.
All right. Good to know.
And then I usually, if there was like a really good noon game from the day before, I start there. You can't watch the night game first because then you get all the scores running across or you'll get the people talking about, can you believe that such and such upset such and such? So I basically do the whole college football Saturday on Sunday. It works.
This is before NFL?
Yeah, and then I usually watch Sunday night football, NFL, and catch up with the highlights.
Then you're behind all day on the NFL. Great job, Nate.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. At least you catch up, I guess.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
You can't watch every NFL game anyway. It's impossible.
Red zone, yes, I can.
No, I mean, red zone's incredible, but still, you're still not watching every NFL game.
Yes, I am.
Not every minute of every NFL game.
Well, no. I mean, it's ridiculous. No, I mean, I'm not a scout. Maybe I could if I got the breakdown tape, like plays only, no commercials, no dead time. But that's what red zone's for. I get to see the important stuff. I mean, if it's meaningful, they show a replay. And
sure.
If they're in the red zone, or just the best game.
It's hard for me to watch a regular NFL game now.
It is. Red Zone has spoiled me. And I, you know, we're talking about spoilers. It's a different version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Red Zone, too good. Spoiling sports, kind of hard. Hard not to do it from time to time.
Final segment, hour one, three and out, Monday edition of the program. Billy sent me this video of Gary Woodland just knocking down shots.
Oh, from three?
Yeah.
Baller.
87% from the free throw line, too.
My friend Jeremy texted me, we forgot one of the biggest short game faux pas of the weekend. Patrick Reed on 18, chipping from the rough, ball goes 2 feet, 1 foot. Patrick Reed, known hothead, just snaps it over his knee. Won't need that club again. I'll get another one tonight when I'm in the what's their bar called?
I don't know.
The tap room, I think. I think the 19th tee, would you know, everybody calls their
19th hole.
Yeah, whatever. 19th. Well, I mean, it's 19th something. I think it's theirs is the 19th tee, the tap room.
Okay.
I'm sure he went in there, pounded a few probably Budweiser's, McElroy's over there having a nice Guinness. Woodland's like, yeah, Budweiser's fine. Brooks Koepka just lining up Natty Light. Tiger Woods having a Chardonnay in the corner.
It's the tap room, the legendary 19th hole at Pebble Beach.
Okay, tell me there's not a bar named the 19th tee, and
not
we'll talk.
Not at Pebble Beach, there is.
I said it's the 19th something. I don't know why you're arguing over the dumbest part of the story. I just said every course has something called the 19th what getaway or bunker. It's 19th something. That's the whole point. Because it's not a real hole. It's a room with beer in it.
Not seeing one in this country, only in Canada.
What are you talking about? You're not seeing one in this country?
A post bar called the 19th tee. There's a driving range, but most of the time it's the 19th hole. I just thought maybe you misspoke. I was trying to help you out, and then you just come at me. So I was just trying to.
What does a hole start with? A T. Thank you. We're done here.
I didn't say it couldn't be an option.
The 19th tee, bar and bistro in Queens. Boom. Shush. Gotcha.
What course is that at?
It's in Queens. Queens Park Golf Club.
All right.
Wait for it. Wait
slow
for it.
Website.
I don't know.
It's fine. It doesn't matter.
It does to me.
You said it didn't matter.
It does now. Can I get an address here, please?
Big address guy, Houston Crest.
You know me.
He likes to know where stuff is.
I don't know where this is.
Shocker, Patrick Reed didn't apologize for breaking his club.
Well, who's he going to apologize to? The club?
I don't know. Apparently the ESPN folks asked him about it.
I would have much rather seen him try to snap the club and he just bent it over his knee. Not a Patrick Reed guy.
I don't know if anyone's a Patrick Reed guy.
there are.
Not a lot of Patrick Reed guys.
At the end of the day, I got my anger out. I didn't do anything to the golf course. I didn't say obscenities or anything like that, Reed said.
He's right.
It was a split second. I moved on and did my business.
That sounds like he maybe did something else on the golf course.
Hit my next golf shot.
Which was a putt. I think. Good for him.
You have Sergio with what he did on the greens. I've seen multiple guys tear up golf courses and slam clubs. Rory threw his club in the water on the 8th at Doral in 2015.
Hold on. Is this Reed calling those players out or the Ryder?
Is this a quote, Nate?
No, this is a quote. Quote. This is Reed. Quote. You have Sergio with what he did on the greens. I've seen multiple guys tear up golf courses and slam clubs, he said. Rory threw his club in the water on the 8th hole at Doral. Lucas sent his driver into the water here on Thursday. It happens. Things like that probably shouldn't happen, but as long as you respect the golf course and aren't doing anything to damage it or the guys you're playing with, I'd rather let it out than keep it in. To me, it is no big deal. It was comical watching it afterwards. It wasn't comical hitting poor wedge shot after poor wedge shot, especially when I pride myself on my wedge game. To miss the green from 20 yards, then advance the ball 3 inches from 6 feet off the green.
3 inches, sorry.
Is not normally how my short game is.
I quadrupled the distance when I set a foot.
And rough like this will do to you. Then he said, usually it gets me out of jail. I think he's talking about his 61-degree wedge. It kept me in jail on that one. He used a 57-degree wedge for his sixth shot, then rolled in the putt for a double bogey seven. So he still had to wedge it one more time, I guess, after he broke the wedge he was using.
Not with that one, he didn't. Just saying. I don't know where this golf course is. I'm sorry. Can't find it.
Okay.
I'll work on it.
Yeah, is Patrick Reed the least likable golfer?
Probably not, but he's the one we know the most that's the least likable.
Bubba.
Bubba's likable until you learn anything about him.
I really want to be a Ricky Fowler guy, but then every time I kind of get on board with that, he shoots like Billy mentioned a 77 in round two. He was in second place on Friday as we did the show, and then he shot a 77.
Yeah, it's what Ricky does in majors, man. You just got to get used to it.
Just got to live with it.
Oh, yeah, this one's Victoria Canada.
Wait, that's a different one? Or that's the one that you thought you had found in America?
This is a different one.
Okay.
Canadian.
So now you're just Googling 19th. Establishments.
That's what I started with.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just saying they usually call it the 19th hole.
That's fine.
I don't know I think you're right. The tee comes first.
You sit on a boot on a stool. It's kind of like you're getting teed up.
You'd think you would get off the 18th hole and walk to the 19th tee, not the
19th
hole.
Thank you, Nate. Well, you just skip the whole court, the whole entire hole, and go straight to the actual hole itself. No. You go to the tee.
Is it because it's supposed to be like the watering hole?
That could be it.
Is it trying to?
But I like that. I like what I said, that you're sitting on a stool, so it's like your tee. You're on the tee. You're like the metaphorical golf ball,
ready to get just hammered.
On the tee, ready to get hammered.
So, that's pretty good, right?
We might have just wrote a slogan. Cut the check out there, local businesses, with a golf course and a bar afterwards.
Let's just go start a bar right beside a golf course called the 19th Tee. Come.
You need to be a very popular golf course. What's the most popular golf course? Probably the one in Pigeon Forge?
No, I think it's...
For people playing it, just sheer turnover, there's two courses there. And it's in tourist town. People are going to be just mowing through that thing.
Old Dead Horse Lake turns them over pretty quick.
I love that course.
In 2015,
they've done a lot of work over there.
ESPN surveyed 103 tour pros. 21 of them have won major champions. They asked multiple questions, but one was, blank is in a fight in the parking lot, and you're not helping him out. 23% said Bubba Watson.
Really?
Yeah, I could see 23% of people saying, nah, Bubba needs to get that ass beat one time.
11% said Patrick Reed.
They're both Georgia guys. Patrick Reed was and then wasn't, but Bubba, I think, played at least multiple years at Georgia, whereas Patrick Reed got kicked out. Those Georgia guys. I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all. I didn't mean to get hung up on the Patrick Reed or the 19th tee thing. I'm sorry. I got a little distracted.
That's all right. I think you're onto something. Georgia people are asses. I got it.
Put me on record.
All right.
Kirby Smart, right?
Maybe.
Nah.
Yeah? You're sure?
I'm sure.
All right.
Sam Pittman, while he's there.
What if he came back here?
He crossed the state lines. Things change from time to time.